We praise the Lord for the faithfulness of His saints because He makes us faithful, you know. He stirs in us life and makes us alive. The truth of the matter is, I love you, church. I don't know if you know that or not. You know, there's not enough money that can make me love people. You know what I mean? I know that you guys pay my salary graciously here, and you provide for us, and you love us. But more than financial, what you give me, I love your love for me. You know that? We've testified about our love for each other here this morning. I just love you. I just want you to know that. And I don't tell you enough. I love you. I love our relationship. I want it to grow and blossom and become completely just welded together as people. I consider myself a part of this church. I don't know if you consider me a part of this church yet or not. I hope you do. But I'm with you. You're with me, and I call you, and I don't even know how people function without a church like you. I just love you so much. I just want you to know that. We're going to be in 2 Peter this morning. It is my greatest desire. I want you to know this. I know I've said it before, and I'll say it until the end of eternity. I said that the other day. Marianne was like, this guy's lost his mind. There's no end to eternity. I'm just using that as a phrase because I'm never going to stop saying it. Jesus is everything, not just to me. It's not because I made him that. It's not because that's my preference. It's because that's his title. He is the treasure, the crown jewel, the beautiful supremacy of all everything. When he came to the planet, angels lined the heavens and said, yes! Yes, it's happening! Because he's so good. He's so good. So good. I pray and I hope that if I live to be an old man, that on my deathbed, I grab the doctor or whoever's taking care of me and say, trust Christ, because he's everything. I hope I sow into my children, not just what a pastor looks like. I want to sow into them what Christ looks like. I want to sow into them who Jesus is. I want to sow into them everything that I can, and I beg them to forgive my mistakes because they're many. Because Jesus is better than me. Jesus loves you than Daddy ever can. Jesus gives more than Daddy ever will. Jesus is wonderful. He's beautiful. He's strong. He's mighty. He's a great warrior. He's valiant and victorious. Even in the darkest of places, even in the darkest of times, he still wins. He's still king. He's still glorious. And I know you've heard all this before. But Peter says something that is just so close to my heart in verse 12 of chapter 1. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have them established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent. I love that. I'm going to die, and I know it's coming, because the Lord has told me so. Look at that. As also our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me. Right? Jesus came to Peter and says, you're coming to me soon. And Peter says, I know it's coming. It is on the threshold. I want to remind you of these things. I want to remind you of these things. If you're looking at your bulletin to fill in the blanks, you're going to have a hard time. That's not my sermon. So just stay close. Anytime you come in Scripture to a word like therefore, Don, I've got bigger ears than Don. This thing squishes me. Anytime you come to a word like therefore or for or but, it's a tying word. So a little what they call hermeneutics, how to understand the Bible and how to translate it. How to interpret it. When you see a therefore, you got to back up. So that's what we're going to do here, all right? If you notice at the beginning of verse 12, he says, therefore, I will always. Why does he say therefore? Let's back up. Look at verse 10. Therefore, there it is again. We'll talk about it in a second, though. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. The reason Peter finds it right, the reason he finds it a necessity to remind the church, the reason I find it a necessity to remind you, is because he wants to make sure that you are sure, that you are confident of your calling, of his calling of you and his choosing of you. He wants to make sure that you belong to the Lord. Here we go. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, there's another word that occurred before. I don't know if you caught that or not. These things, and then also look in verse 12. I want to remind you of these things. That's what we're fixing to talk about. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Peter wants us to be sure that the eternal life, the eternal kingdom is completely supplied to us. Let's just stop real quick. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you have eternal life now? If you don't, grab hold of that. Because Peter is saying that you can have assurance of that right now. You can have assurance of that. And it's all found in these things, right? He's just referencing these things. He's referenced it twice. What are these things? He's used the therefore word again. Let's back up. Look at verse 5. Now, for this very reason also, he used the word now. We're going to have to back up again. But let's go through this list first. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. Now, if you were with us a few weeks ago on Sunday night, we went through this list pretty exhausting. We went through it and we talked about each thing. If you missed it, you can't get the tape, but you can talk to someone who was there, or you should study it. We could talk about it more one-on-one. But these seven things he lists are diligently supplied to the faith. This reminds me of what James says. You say you have faith, and I say I have works. Show me your faith, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Peter's saying, you say you believe Christ. Beautiful. Now be diligent. I love this word. I love diligent because it gives the idea of not just trying. There's no try. Either do or do not, right? No one got that. Come on. You want to do it in the voice? No try. Anyways, Hannah's the only one that likes it. Do or do not. It's Yoda. Come on. Anyways, I don't have enough nerds in here. You're in the faith or you're not. If you're in the faith, be diligent with all your might. Supply these seven things he talks about. Supply moral excellence. I love that he puts this here because a lot of times we attribute moral excellence to all of godliness. Wrong. Wrong. Why? Because he adds it later. Godliness is actually godlikeness. looking like God, acting like God. You see? Yes, God doesn't cuss, and you shouldn't either, but that ain't the end game. Right? He puts it at the beginning. Moral excellence, yes. You should not be an immoral person. But once you understand that, once you have that knowledge, you should add to that self-control. Once you add to that self-control, you should add perseverance. You should stand with it. Once you add to that perseverance, what's the next one? I'm doing this from memory. What is it? Godliness. Beautiful. You start looking like God. Long-suffering, patient, kind, gentle. Right? The fruits of the Spirit begin to come out. And then after that, brotherly kindness. Right? You start looking out for others. And then what's the last one? Love? Love. And we've talked about love. I don't know if you've grabbed it yet. Love is a choice. Love is not an overwhelming feeling. Love is a decision that you make. It's an act of the will that's accompanied by emotion that leads to action on behalf of its object. It's a definition I stole from Vodi Bakum, who's going to be here November 7th. He took it from the Bible. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's an act of your desire. You choose to love what you choose to love, right? You love chocolate cake? Yes, there are some addictive qualities there, but it's just good, right? No one loves chocolate cake? I mean, what do you like? Oh, there's some hands. Love it. Yes. Chocolate pudding? Mmm. Snack packs were made for this guy, right? Because they come in those handy squeeze things. You're supposed to use a spoon, but what's the point? It's going to be gone in a second. Why dirty a spoon? You add these things to your life. Why does he say that? Remember why he said? Because I want you to be sure of your calling. Why? So that you have eternal life supplied. So what do these things have to do with your assurance? When you grow in faith, there's assurance. How do we have assurance that we have eternal life supplied to us? You grow. You grow. Hear me. This is why Christianity is not simply church attendance. This is why Christianity is not simply doing good things for other people. Right? Otherwise, godliness wouldn't necessarily be in there. Because sometimes people inflict things on us and wrath wants to come out, or slander, or gossip, or just physical abuse. That's not godliness. James, I believe it's James 1:15 says, the anger of man does not fulfill the righteousness of God. My anger does not portray godliness. Right? That's why the Lord's convicted me about what I say about our government and its officials. I should be praying for them, loving them, praying for their salvation, praying for righteousness to come out of those things, His kingdom to be expanded. My anger does not fulfill the righteousness of God. And since I know that, I add to that self-control. And in that self-control becomes perseverance. Are you following me? Yeah. If I was the same man that I was when Christ interrupted my life at 18 years old, if I was the same man now that I was then, I'm probably not in the faith. Did you hear me? It doesn't give any age specification here. If you've been in the faith for 40 years and you're the same person as you were, and I'm not talking about like physical facade, and I'm not talking about just discipline, okay? I'm talking about, do you look more like Christ now than when you first started? If you don't have markers, because I guarantee you, God gives us Ebenezers. If you don't know what that is, that's a reference to Samuel. Right? Where he raised up the Ebenezer and says, this is where the Lord met me. If you don't have Ebenezers in your life, you're probably not saved. How do I know that? Look at verse 8 or 9. Yeah, verse 9. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted. I looked it up because I was going to pivot on this "or." I was like, well, you could be lost or you could be saved. So I looked it up in the Greek. There's no "or" there. The New American Standard kind of added that for contextualization or understanding. The actual Greek says, you are blind being short-sighted. That's how it reads. Blind being short-sighted. So, understanding the reason I know... I'm going to throw this mic on the ground. The reason I know that the NASB did this was because, like, there are some Christians that are not adding these things. And as we speak about them, they're like, I need to change. I believe Christ. I know I need to love more. I know I need to portray Christ. I know that I've been struggling against this for years and years, and I need to persevere and have self-control in these things. I know I need to do this. Before, I was short-sighted. But now I see clearly. But the heart of the matter is, hear me. If you have not grown in your faith, if you have not grown in your faith, you are probably blind. You're lost. You're lost. I remember when I was graduating college, I was pursuing a hot woman. I caught her. And she had gone on to Lubbock to get her master's degree. And she left me at Howard Payne. And man, I was like, we're going to get married. It's coming. And so we were planning ahead. And I was in my last semester of college. And so I was like pressing. I had billions of hours or whatever. And my hardest classes, because it's my senior level classes. And I'm planning for this wedding and things like that. And, I don't know about you, but in those times, the Lord taught me when stress is abundant, my prayer life needs to be increasing. I need to keep coming to Him saying, Lord, there's this and there's this and there's this. And I remember walking down the courtyard with one of my friends, one of my roommates actually. And he's like, dude, what are you going to do when you get to Lubbock? I was like, I don't know. He's like, you don't have a job? I was like, no. And it just came out of my mouth. But the Lord's going to provide a job. I'm not worried about it. He's like, whoa. I was like, what? Like, man, that's faith. I said, yeah, I guess it is. But I wasn't just like, like this pious guy, like, oh, the Lord will provide those things, anything like that. It came out of my mouth so readily because I had experienced it years before. When I went from little Bandera, Texas, where there's 900 people, and I went to Brownwood, where it's a booming metropolis comparatively, My dad had gone to college after he had been married and had kids. So he was a non-traditional student. And he didn't really relay any of those college experiences because he didn't have them, because he was working a job, having kids, and, doing homework at midnight. So I went off to college all by myself into a dark world that I didn't know anything about. I walked in faith. And so in those times, the Lord stretched my faith and provided jobs. I said, Lord, I need money because I can't pay for college. Job. Two jobs. Three jobs. And Lord, these things are coming up. What am I going to do? This and this. And He was just growing my faith. So when I came to the end of my college life and I needed a job because I was fixing to have to provide for a woman who already had two or three jobs. But as a man, that's what I got to do, right? And so, Lord, you're going to have to provide a job because I don't know anybody in Lubbock. I don't have any connections there, but you do. And He did. I can confidently say now, 10 years out from that moment, as I've seen Him provide even more faithfully than that moment, I can confidently say the Lord will provide again. How do I know that? Because the sun came up again. Because it's misting outside and we've been praying for rain for months. And He's answering us. Do you understand? If you are the same person as you were 10 years ago that you are now or whatever, you know what I'm saying? If you're the same person now that you were 10 years ago and you have not grown in Christ, you are probably lost and punishable, looking at God's wrath full on to you. And I'm telling you that because it is no trouble to me, and it is right to me to remind you of these things so that your salvation is secure. So that you are there. If you're struggling with sin, it should be steadily beat out of you. We were continually beat against sin until we die, until this body's done with, praise the Lord. But until then, I'm going to bust out my sword, which is the Word of God, and with the Spirit's power, I'm going to lop at that sin until it's just no more, because I hate it, because it separates me from my Christ. And I love Jesus. It's no trouble for me to remind you of these things. In fact, it's my great joy to come to here and say, are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? This is a regular conversation I actually have with the Spirit. I'm like, Lord, am I in you? Am I yours? I just need you to grab hold of me right now because I'm feeling way desperate and I just need you to show up. And either through the testimony of people or just His Spirit just welling in me saying, yes, you're mine! I wait and I long for that. Because I want to be sure that eternal life is completely supplied to me. Are you there? Are you there? Look at verse 8. You still open? Come on. You still in your text? Verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go. If you're in Christ, increase, be diligent, give yourself to it. If you're not in Christ, if you're just playing patty cake or playing this church business, it ain't going to work. We check membership rolls for your accountability and for our love for you. Jesus is not going to check member rolls. He's got it written. He's not going to check whether or not you were in Sunday school every week. He is going to check whether or not your faith is secure in Him. He is going to check your fruit. And He's a good farmer. He knows who's His and who's not. He knows the difference between a goat and a sheep. And He's going to separate them rightly. Don't delay. Don't delay. If you are not in Christ, plead with the Savior to rescue you. And if you are in Christ, let's get it in gear. And just ram it up and go as fast as you can after Him. As hard as you can. I want more. I want more of you, Lord. I want more of you. I want more of you. And I know He's supplied everything in Himself already, but we're just kind of dull like that. And He needs to show us in increments how much He's supplied us already. Lord Jesus, I love You. And I pray that You would show us these things. Lord, that we would be real. That You would be the King. And we would throw down our fake crown. Jesus, I pray that You would make us sure of Your calling of us. And that You would make it our due diligence and our strength and delight to pursue You as hard and as passionately as we can. I love You and bless You, and I ask for Your great glory now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to play the guitar for a response song. If you, Johnny's going to be down here to receive you if you need someone to pray with you or to love on you. The truth of the matter is we don't have power to save. Never have. Never will. Jesus completely and totally does. So if you need to do work with Christ, we're just here to help you down that road. And so I've asked John to step in my stead, and he's willing to pray, and he's very knowing of the gospel. He believes the gospel. He's a good brother. So if you need someone to talk to, he's there for that. But the truth of the matter is, if you're not in Christ, you need to do business with the Lord Jesus himself, because he's the only advocate you got. All right? So let's sing. Stand with me, please.